Okay, it's time for another episode of George and Keith's Musings. I'm Keith Stone, and on the line is my partner,
George Schaefel.
And today we are going to talk about everything near and dear to every kid's heart, toys.
Toys indeed.
We love toys. George, go. I ranked it 1 through 10. I hope you did the same.
I did that as well. One thing I found kind of interesting in putting this list together is I discovered a really fuzzy line between toys and games, and another pretty fuzzy line between toys and sporting equipment. So I tried to keep it pretty specifically toys, and I think it centered pretty much mostly on my childhood, so I'm pretty heavy into the 70s here.
Yeah. All but one of these I played with, but I did include two things that we're probably going to call sporting equipment, but we play with them as toys. But so when I see them, you're going to say, "Oh, I wish you'd have told me I'd have included that one too." But feel free, you can do that when you want to. So why don't you start? So why don't you start with number 10?
Okay. Well, my number 10, it goes back. This is a toy I remember I had. I remember when I was like 3 or 4 years old, but I used to play with it for a number of years after that. Looked like a little pair of binoculars with a little lever on the side, but it's the old classic ViewMaster. ViewMaster was a toy where you could take these discs, put these discs into a slot on the ViewMaster, and you look through it like binoculars. And it gives you a 3D view of all sorts of different things. You could look at like different cartoons and put cartoons in a 3D world for you, or be like famous landmarks or TV shows, movies, all sorts of different ways you could go with it. So it had a lot of versatility to it, and I used to spend a lot of time looking through that thing and clicking through it.
That is excellent. I do not have that on my list. I forgot about that, but I had a ViewMaster, and my only complaint was that the disc would come in those flimsy paper, holders, and they would all get ripped and stuff like that, and pretty soon your discs were all over the place.
Yeah, you had to be careful with a ViewMaster, especially if you hand it to a 4-year-old, because maybe that was the design. So when he ruined one, parents would have to go out and buy him another disc.
That's true. But yeah, I had those. That's a good one. Okay, my number 10 is Tinker Toys.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever had those, but they're wooden toys, and they'd be like a round piece with holes on the side of it, and there would be sticks that you would stick in those holes, and then you could continue to put the round piece in there and more sticks. So it was kind of like a wooden erector set, if you understand that.
Yeah, I sure do. I remember Tinker Toys. Well, I don't know that I actually had any. I think I had some friends that had them, so I would play with them for a while. I don't think my creations ever got too elaborate. It was always like a box with wheels on it or something.
Yeah, it was hard to do too much with them because they couldn't turn. Everything was whatever angle that wheel was. And, George, you were a math major in college, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, well, you'll be happy to know that the circular piece that all the sticks went into was modeled after the Pythagorean progressive right triangle.
Wow.
So I'm sure you know all about that stuff, and I'd let you go on for an hour, but I don't want to do that. Right, and that's coming up pretty soon, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's
okay. Number 9, Georgie.
Number 9 is something I got for Christmas one year. I desperately wanted one of these. Used to play it in the arcade. And the one you get at home is never as good as the one in the arcade, but it's air hockey.
Yeah.
Air hockey was a big table. In the arcade, it was always like 4 feet wide by 8 feet long. had these little air jets that came up and a little puck that would float on it. And you just went, whipped that thing across the table as fast as you go. And it made a really satisfying sound whenever it scored. It had like a ka-chunk sound. And,
that's like the Dale Lasher Universal sound effect again.
The Dale Lasher Universal sound effect absolutely applies to air hockey because, you know, it's just chicka 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 chicka
chicka chicka chicka chicka. Exactly.
And there's no doubt when you score, man, because that thing just made a great sound.
But the home version of air hockey, like you said, was a huge disappointment.
It was a big disappointment because instead of like 4 feet by 8 feet, it was like, you know, a foot and a half by 3 feet. It had like rubber bumpers, and it always would like get stuck because the table wasn't flat. There was always like a high spot in it, so it would get stuck there. So yeah, it was definitely a letdown. But it was a pretty memorable toy.
It was a good one though. My number 9, going back to the right back to the building mode, is Lincoln Logs. And those were kind of just what they said. They're brown wooden pieces of wood in varying lengths, and they'd have a notch cut out of the ends, and so like you could crisscross them, and you would build just like a log cabin. And they had these red plastic, like the trusses for the roof, and you'd have these green thin pieces of wood, and those would always be the roofs. And you know, it was just a pretty cool thing. I mean, you could build more stuff with that. You could put doors and windows. They even had like plastic windows that you could put in, and doors and things like that. But in doing the research, those Lincoln Logs were invented in 1917, and they were invented by Frank Lloyd Wright's son.
Okay.
How about that? Yeah.
That's very interesting. Well, I have a feeling that we'll be talking more about Lincoln Logs later in this podcast.
Okay. Okay. Well, will we be talking about them at number 8?
No, we will not. At number 8, we are going to be talking about something I know you and I made up some games with this one back in college. You may recall a game where we set up a chair at the far end of the hall, put a can on it, and we try and knock him down with a frisbee. Frisbee is one of those toys that kind of gets kind of close to that sporting goods line, but it's still more in the toy category. You know, it's just fun just to play, you know, just to kind of play catch with it. But you can always invent a lot of games, like, you know, you come up with frisbee golf. And, you know, then there's those PR, you know, if you have a dog that's particularly talented, you know, you got dog frisbee where you run and catch it. And a lot of fun different games you can get with a frisbee. And that one was what initially... he got his name, I think, from like some frisbee pie company in Connecticut or somewhere, where people would like eat the pies and then they play with the pie pans like frisbees.
Oh, I think that might be true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have frisbees on my list, and that's a worthy one. But you know, I don't think I wasn't really so good at frisbee, believe it or not. And when you would throw a bad frisbee, man, it was a debacle. It was like a plane just crashing into the ground. It was terrible.
Yeah. If you got it tilted a bit, it could get, they start going through windows and things.
Yep. Okay, my number 8 is the good old Green Army Men.
Okay.
Now they were at like about the they're at the 1/32nd scale, and they were developed in the plastic Army Men came out in the early 50s. And before that, all the toy soldiers were metal. And I remember they had about 12 different figures. They'd have the cool ones, like the guy kneeling and shooting a gun. And they had a guy with a machine gun. And a guy laying flat shooting.
Yeah.
And then they had the bazooka guy and a rocket launcher guy, hand grenade thrower. all those good ones. But I always felt sorry for the there was a dumb one. It was the Minesweeper guy.
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy?
Oh, absolutely.
So that was a bad one. And another good one was the raised, the rifle, the guy would have the rifle raised over his head as if he was going to stab somebody with the bayonet.
So, yeah, I couldn't quite figure that one out. It looked like he was standing there kind of awkwardly, and I didn't quite know how he was, what stage of basic training they actually taught him to stab someone like that.
Yeah, but good old clean American fun, stabbing somebody with a bayonet.
couldn't agree more.
And they kind of got a boost when they were in the Toy Story movies, too.
Well, yeah, and which was the wasn't the guy that got stepped on? He was the Minesweeper guy, wasn't he?
He might have.
That was the one that Andy's mom stepped on.
There you go. I did not know that, but there he is again, causing trouble.
And it just so happens that Army Man is my number 7, so I guess we just kind of keep talking about it. And, one of the great things, I've noticed in our list, there's a lot of crossover, and you get some crossover with Army because who was the voice of the Army Man of Sarge?
Yeah.
It was Arlie Ermey.
Absolutely.
So I know he showed up on our list before too. So
yeah.
Army Men get a bonus for being voiced by Arlie Ermey.
Yeah. So I think I went through. I think all the different positions I were correct, right? I mean, those were about them, and you could play with those forever. That was great.
Now there was one set I had when I was a kid, and I don't know where it came from, but it was the same scale. They were plastic, but they were German. So I had like a whole set of German Army Men too, and they were kind of more or less in the same position, but they were like little gray German soldiers that you could set up against the green American soldiers.
Well, that makes sense. That's good.
And I just remember going out in the yard with we set them up in the yard and one side to the other with my friends. Then we grab a bunch of rocks and chuck rocks.
That's pretty cool. Or did you ever try and did you ever set one on fire or try to melt one with a magnifying glass?
I probably did. I don't recall it, but I probably did.
Yeah, okay. Okay, my number 7 is, we had one of these in college. I think every college dorm room had one, and that's the Nerf hoop.
Yeah.
They had a couple different variations where you could hang them over your door, or you had the other ones where you kind of had to tape it to the door, and that always ended in disaster because that thing was always falling down.
That never stayed. You had to get the door hooked. That was the best one.
Yeah. And then they had two different kinds of balls. They had that harder ball, that was kind of like a foam rubber ball. But of course, the non-foam rubber ball. The best one was just the plain orange foam rubber Nerf ball.
Yep.
And you could play that forever. All you needed was enough ceiling clearance and you were golden.
Sometimes you didn't have enough clearance, so your shots are always banging off the roof.
Correct, yes.
Nerf balls, I remember when they first came out, they were like marketed as it was the ball that you could play in the house with. That was their big selling point.
Yeah, you couldn't break the lamp, your mom couldn't get mad at you, nothing.
Right, well, not for that anyway.
Right, so there's one that kind of crosses over into sporting goods, but I think it's more toy.
Well, I'll probably have a little more to say about that one as well.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You're taking me out early. That's kind of what I was doing with you on some of these.
Yeah.
Earlier,
yeah. Okay.
Okay. My number 6. My number 6 is it's kind of a glass because it's kind of the same toy. And you may remember, but it's number 6 is Hot Wheels, but I'm also going to add a slash there. So it's Hot Wheels slash Sizzlers. I don't know if you remember Sizzlers or not.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. Hot Wheels are these great little toy cars. And when they're right out of the package, the wheels were nice and straight, and they go really, really fast. And you set up these orange tracks, that had the that would like stick together with these little tongue stick together pieces. I don't know what they were.
Yeah, the purple little tongue thing. Yeah. Yeah.
But the best thing to do is you know, like take it up like to the top of the stairs or something. You get this track that goes down, you know, this long flight of stairs, and you set them on there, and they go flying down. And you know, normally, you know, then you might like set up an army man at the bottom or something, have the car like you know knock him over.
Yeah, if the guy's going to be minesweeping in the middle of the track, it's his own fault.
Yeah, he's going to get hit.
Yeah.
I also like the Tizzlers. It was also a Hot Wheels brand, but they put a little battery in it and a little electric motor. And you sit and you charge them up for, you know, a few minutes. And then they'd go and they had like their own special track. It was like this three-car-wide black track that you'd stick together. No things would just fly around there like crazy, and then they'd run out of juice, and you'd juice them back up and set them going again. So
yes, sir.
Yeah, so Hot Wheels and Tizzlers, man, I had a lot of fun with those.
Well, we'll be talking about Hot Wheels much later on my list, so there. Okay, number six. This definitely crosses over into sporting goods, but I don't care. And it is the wiffle ball. And I'm talking original, the yellow thin wiffle ball with the half solid, half hold wiffle ball itself. Now, are you poo-pooing this? Is it too much of a sporting good item? Right.
So I'm with you.
So the original yellow wiffle ball bat was 32 inches long. And now, as I was reading this, I might call BS on this, but they said it was called wiffle ball because the kids would call it a whiff when you missed. But don't you think we were calling wiffle ball, they were invented in 1953. Don't you think they were calling a swing and a miss, a whiff prior to 1953.
They might have been, but I don't know. I mean, but I always thought it was wiffle ball because that's kind of the sound the ball made when you throw it. It had those holes in it, and it would definitely make like a whiffy kind of sound when you threw it.
Right. Right. So, now.
Yeah.
I played when I was in high school. We played. Big bat wiffle ball. You know those huge, like, Captain Caveman bats you had?
I've got one in my garage right now.
Oh, and then those big, huge plastic balls that were solid, and you could crush the ball with those things. So here we were, like, you know, grown adolescents playing in my buddy's backyard every weekend, and we were just pounding the ball all over the place, and we still talk about that today. Yeah.
It was a black bat, and the balls had just little circles all over it, so it'd fly a lot straighter.
Yep.
Many hours spent with those. Those are great. Played those, you know, with my kids, and, you know, even to this day, you know, if my son comes over, let's just go and grab the ball, and we'll pitch it around and knock it around some. So it's, it never gets old.
Well done. Okay, I think it's you for number five.
Number five. I'm staying with cars. This was when I was a kid. I remember my oldest brother used to give me. I always loved whatever he'd give me for Christmas because I always thought he wanted to give me these great toys. Until as I got older, I realized that I think the main reason he got me these really cool toys is because he wanted to play with them himself, but he kind of felt he was too old to, so he gave them to me. But what he got me one year was a slot car set, and I'm not talking like the little Hot Wheel size slot cars. These are like the big, like the 1/24 scale slot car on a really big wide track, and it had one of the cars with a Mustang, the other car was a Camaro. It was a red Mustang and a gold Camaro were the two cars it came with. And it was this really great track that had a lot of, like, flat turns and had one big, huge bank turn. And you get the cars on those bank turns, man, you'd fly around there. But it was, and then I think there was another piece of track where they like either cross or they'd like come close together. So if they were going through at the same time, you know, they'd smash up. But yeah, man, that flat car set, that was a great toy.
Yeah, those are cool. And I had like a crummy little beginner set, and I never went any further with it because it seemed to me I would always go too fast, and I could never make it around a turn. You know, yeah. so they'd be sliding off, and now I got to reset it up again, and terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, the humanity. But
the larger scale slot cars, man, there was a good. They had nice rubber tires on them, and you know, good grip to the track. So if you could get around the track without spinning out too much.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm kind of go similar to what you were talking about. But another thing that kids love to collect, I think, is the train sets, model train sets.
Okay.
Now, I never had the real nice train set. I was jealous of my neighbor across the street. He had, like, one of the big pieces of plywood, on stilts or whatever. And he put down, like, the green AstroTurf on it, and he had a whole town of his trains going through there, and I was so jealous of that. I just had like an old, the original, like the Lionel train with like the metal tracks, and it went around in an oval, and you know, I was supposed to be happy with that, but I mean,
you know, I never had a train set, but I do like them, and there's a hobby store down here in St. Clair Shores that they've kind of got like that, like you said, they've got the little village set up and trains going around, and they've got another train that like goes on this track around the top of the store.
Yeah, but don't you think
those are a lot of fun, but they look like a lot of work, and they look really expensive.
You're right on all accounts, but hey, we're adults now, so don't you think that would be cool if just to go down in the basement and just build a huge train thing? I think that would still be fun today. Oh, without the Choo Choo Charlie hat or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Okay, over to you, my man.
Okay, number four. Okay, this is where I've got Nerf balls. And I just kind of put Nerf balls, both the basketball hoop round ball version, but also the football. I love the Nerf ball. And when Nerf football, because, you know, it first came out, it was the little round ball, which was a lot of fun. You could chuck it around the house and not break anything. Also made for great, like in a water fight, because you could soak those things and really splat somebody good with a wet Nerf ball. But the Nerf football just kind of took, it was Nerf's first big expansion into something about what they could kind of become. And you know, we play Nerf football as much as we play with just like a regular football. A lot of ways it was just kind of more convenient. It was easier to grip, and I'm sure we had a few Nerf footballs rolling around the Barnard Hall too. So.
Oh yeah, and they all have like big chunks ripped out of them and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. My dog would get a hold of it, and then you'd always see where she'd get it. You know, it'd be like big bite mark out of it. You'd still play with it.
But yeah, you're right. I missed that one. Nerf footballs were the best, and they still are the best. Cause you could whip that thing around, and you could always make a good throw with it because it was so easy to small the grip, you know, and stuff like that. I love that. That was great. My number four. Now we're getting into I don't know, nothing really special, but the G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe came out in 1962 by Hasbro. It got its name.
Vietnam.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Well, that, right, and then it lost a lot of its momentum, you know, when Vietnam kind of got everybody turned against it. But it got its original name. There was a 1945 movie called The Story of G.I. Joe. And
okay.
Their biggest hurdle for Hasbro to market this was to say that this isn't a doll. I don't care what you say, it's a doll. So this is where the term action figure got its start, which is still here today. So it came out with the G.I. Joe, and if you remember, you know, remember the original G.I. Joes would come out with the plastic hair, and you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times like the hair was like greenish, you know, it was weird.
More like a Ken doll.
Exactly. And they, but then they had the lifelike hair that came out, and when they originally issued them, they didn't want to offend any other services, so they came out in all four of the services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, so you could have any kind of G.I. Joe you wanted. I remember they had the dog tag that would hang from them, and they had different clothes you could buy them and stuff like, well, uniforms, not clothes, you know, but...
I did like the fuzzy hair on him. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, the beard and everything like that. That was a big advancement in G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
But, we played with those all the time.
Oh, you know, and I don't think I ever had one. I had friends that had one, and I liked them. And I think we'd go out and play with them almost as much maybe as playing with the Army men. But I far preferred the larger G.I. Joes that came out early as opposed to the smaller ones. You know, the ones that are like a third the size.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out in like the 80s, and that didn't quite do it for me.
Yeah, I think the originals were like 11 inches tall or something like that.
Yeah.
Alrighty, number three on your list.
Number three, I'm going back to the world of vehicles here, and it's just Tonka trucks. I just remember having, and this goes back to the Tonka trucks that they had back in like the late 60s, early 70s. They had rubber tires. They were all metal. And there'd be like a dump truck, and you could put in and the dump truck would work. Or, you know, there'd be like a cement mixer. They had all sorts of these trucks, but I just remember they had rubber tires. Unlike today, you know, they're plastic tires and they're plastic trucks, but it was rubber tires, metal trucks. And it's another thing that I remember just playing on the hills in California, and we'd like take a Tonka truck. And the main thing I think we like to do, I don't know, it was just fun to do when you're a boy. But you roll the truck down the hill, and as it's rolling by, we threw a lot of rocks back then.
Uh-huh.
And you try to hit the thing with rocks, you know, and you get points for hitting a rock. But because it was metal and it had rubber tires, man, they took a beating and they just kept going.
They were.
So,
bye. I had plenty of those, and my favorite was, it was like a front end loader, and you could control it with, it had like little joysticks, you know, in the front seat, so you could like scoop up some dirt and lift it up and dump it. And I don't have Tonka trucks on my list, but I wish I would have. Those were great. I had a bunch of those, but I was not allowed, listen to this, I was not allowed to take my Tonka trucks outside, which is...
Oh, man, that's where you need them.
I know. So, what happened, in my old house when I was, before second grade, with the basement, you go right up the steps, and then it led right out to the door to the backyard. And I wanted to play with my Tonka trucks outside. So I grabbed my, like, pickup truck, and I ran up the stairs so my mom wouldn't see me. And I reached for the door handle, and I missed it, and my hand went right through the glass door.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so not only was I bleeding there, and I was busted. And I never got stitches or anything, and I still have this scar, like, on the top of my hand where the glass dug in. But so that's my painful story about Tonka.
Well, I can see, you know, you probably gave you some traumatic experience, so it just kind of got wiped from your memory.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting close now, George.
Yep, sure are. Okay, what's your number three?
Number three is Lego.
That's my honorable mention.
Okay. Oh, honorable mention. Come on. But anyways, they're made in Denmark, and the The L-E-G-O name came from, those were the first two letters in play well in Danish.
Okay.
So that's where that came from. The original Legos didn't have those tubes underneath, you know, to connect, which is like the whole point of a Lego. And
right.
So they would just kind of have to stack them on top of each other.
They're like blocks.
Exactly. And then, but the Legos were up and down, up and down, up and down. They almost went bankrupt like three different times. And they had lots of competition out there, you know, like Duplos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you probably won't remember when this was only probably, I don't know, 17 years ago, because my kids were old enough to remember it. They came out with a line called Jack Stone, which is my dad's name. Yeah, and he was supposed to be some kind of superhero. So they had all these Jack Stones you could build and all these different adventures he had, and it totally bombed. It was one of the ideas that almost drove him out of business.
I think Steve Kemp had something to do with that.
Yep, no doubt. But then, you know, they bounced back. Lego made a lot of their money on the Star Wars sets and the Harry Potter sets. And I guess there was a 3-year period in there where neither one of those came out with a movie. And so there was another time when they almost went out of business because they depended so heavily on those.
Wow.
But my youngest boy, Matt, he played. We still got him all kinds of Lego sets that he had to have.
Okay. I'm honorable mention Legos because I never had them when I was a kid. It was another one of those toys that I had friends that had them. I thought they were fun, but just because, like, you know, my creative ability, all my Legos just ended up looking like, you know, big stacks of colored stacks of you know, big stick.
You were building a wall like Trump or something.
But I'm amazed by some of these Lego artists, and they are artists, you know, they come out and, you know, build the Taj Mahal or the Empire State Building or, you know, all these different things. You know, like the Henry Ford Museum will have a lot of those.
Yeah.
Things. And they're pretty amazing what they can do, but yep. They can't even come up with any of that.
Yep. Okay, Georgie, number two.
Number two, okay, this is where it is. This is where we talked about before, but it's my Lincoln Logs.
All right.
Lincoln Logs made number two on my list. I played with them endlessly when I was a kid. It was the one kind of construction-type toy where I could actually make it look like something. I could make it look like a cabin or, you know, and it was also, but it also gave me another, I got some crossover value with another item on my list, but the Army Men. That was another way I played with the Army Men. I built these Lego cabins and houses and things and put the Legos, or put the Army Men in there, and I'd always have to save one, like, Lego, like, one little, one-notch Lincoln Log, and that was, like, the initial bomb, and so I'd, like, have to, like, throw that at the whatever I built, and I'd have to, like, start knocking things off, and the more I could knock off, the more bombs I could get to destroy the whole thing, so. I have destructive tendencies, I'm coming to realize.
Oh, yeah. I think I did something like that, too. I wasn't as smart as you to put the Army Men in there, but I do remember like throwing either other Lincoln Logs or something at the roofs, you know, and try and bust the roofs up, and then you could kind of loosen up a wall here and there. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was the whole point was, you know, building something and then destroying it.
Yep. Okay, now my number two, I don't know if you are leaving it off your list. Or maybe you have it. I don't know what your number one is, I guess.
Oh, we'll find out.
Okay, but I never played with these, but you got to hand it to them. It was the probably the best toy ever, and it's Barbie.
It's
Barbie for girls.
Okay.
Came out in 1959, and it was an instant success. To date, they've had, Barbies have had 180 different careers. And the only controversy they had was obviously the dimensions of these dolls. And the if it was a real woman, the dimensions would be 39, 18, 33.
So designed by Hugh Hefner.
Right, exactly. And yeah, believe it or not, the first prototypes of the Barbie dolls actually had nipples. And it was designed by a man, and the women who saw that said, "You're kidding with the nipples, right?" So they got rid of those immediately. And then Ken came along in 1961, so 2 years later. And there was also a bit of a controversy on what his anatomy was supposed to look like. And they didn't want him to be, you know, just nothing like Barbie was. So he had just like a little bit more girth there, but it's still obviously not anatomically correct. Ken did not have nipples. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So we're on to number one now, right?
Number one, baby.
Okay. This game is another one I had played a lot when I was a kid. And it never looked like what it was advertised to look like, but it was still a lot of fun. And it's Electric Football. I remember with Electric Football, the game where you get 22 guys out there, little football players, and you take all this great care and set up these really elaborate plays, and you'd have one guy blocking another guy, and he's going to clear his lane, and the running back's going to break free and run down, and then you turn it on, and the ground would buzz, and they'd just go in 22 different directions. And so it never had any resemblance at all to a real football game, but it was still so much fun just to kind of watch them. I loved it when one guy with the ball would actually get a breakaway, and he'd go down to like the 20 and the 15, and he'd get about ready to cross the goal line, and he'd turn around and run back the other way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that game was so frustrating, and it never, like I said, it never worked. They had these little, like, these green brushes underneath the guys. That supposedly you're supposed to, that's what you're supposed to move to make them go in a certain direction. But you can't fool me. That never worked. And you'd always have these, it would take 20 minutes to set up a play, and you'd turn the vibrator on, and it would last like 3 seconds, you know?
Yeah. And half the team, they'd be bunching up in a corner somewhere. Yeah. Like there's this big brawl. And the biggest joke of all, by far, was a passing play, where the idea with it was that you were supposed to like get this wide receiver to go out, and then they had this quarterback piece that was like three times the size of the rest of the guys.
Right.
You're supposed to put the ball in the arm and flick it, and he'd end up, you know, like he'd be throwing it out of the stadium. He never would even come close to the receiver.
I know. And I think he doubled as a kicker too, didn't he?
Yep. And the kicking was actually kind of fun. The kicking kind of worked. And so that was really the only thing that even came close to resembling real football. And so I know it's strange the way we're talking about how it's like all, it's so not football-like, and it's still my number one. But I would still play with it, had a lot of fun. And I had a college football version of it.
What? Who were the teams?
It came with like 20 or 30 different pennants, and it was like little stickers, and you could just stick them around. But the two teams, so it was kind of like a college theme, but one team was red and white. So I always kind of called them like Stanford. And the other team was blue and gold, so I was like Michigan. So every game was like Michigan against Stanford. But you could take the red and put it on the red jersey and put it on the blue pants. And then I guess you'd get Ole Miss. And then you could take the gold jersey and put it on the white pants. And I don't know, whatever you get with that.
Wait a second. So these jerseys were like stick-on and they were interchangeable?
No, they were just like solid plastic. And then they were like the top half.
Oh, okay.
Jersey and the bottom half were the pants. And you could interchange them. But
gotcha. Well, you're right, and I thought it was because I was a kid and I didn't know what I was doing. So when my kids were older, I bought electric football for them. And I go, oh, you guys are going to love this, you know. And it's the same damn thing. I couldn't get those guys to move in the right direction. And we my kids looked at me like I was crazy, and they lost interest in that pretty fast and went right back to running to the Nintendo or whatever.
Yeah. I remember they tried to come out with an electric baseball, too, based on the same principle. That was even more of a disaster. Real baseball even less.
They must have, like, electric football tournaments of people that know what they're doing. And I think that would be interesting to go see that. There's probably stuff on YouTube of people that actually know what they're doing. And I would be interested to see that. I might do that tonight.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay.
All right. What's the Keystone greatest toy of all time?
My number one was already mentioned, and that is Hot Wheels. Oh, okay. Baby. I spent my entire... I was an only child, so I spent, many days playing Hot Wheels. I still have a bunch of Hot Wheels. I still have, like, my original Hot Wheels. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would make me put, like, color, like, pink nail polish on the bottoms of the ones that were mine, so I'd come home with all of my Hot Wheels.
Okay.
And so I still have some of those, and those were originally came out in 1968, and they were called, there was 16 of them, they were called the Sweet 16, and they all had red lines on the tires, and they were all designed after real cars, and the first one they released was a dark blue Camaro, and then in 1969, and every year after, they would release some more, but 69 is when they came out with, like, their original designs. And they all had, you know, different weird names, like, I remember, like, Twin Mill, and, just wacky names, you know.
The Red Baron, let me see.
Spitting Image. Yep. But, George, what I would do, I had that yellow track, and I had this yellow starting gate, and you'd hook it to, like, a chair with this purple... it looked like a big monkey wrench, you know?
Like a C-clamp or something.
Yeah, better yet, C-clamp. And then, so you'd push that, push the button at the top, so theoretically they got an even start, and they'd race down the track, and you had a little finish line down there. And I would do tournaments, like, all the time. So I had, I had, like, 90 cars, and I would just randomly, you know, this is Group A, and it's a Group B, and I just grab them, and we'd race, and it'd be single elimination, and then I'd have a champion. So, like, every week or so, I was having a new tournament, a new champion, and usually it'd be one of, like, six or seven cars that were the best ones. But, I still have them, and I think they still only cost, like, $1. I haven't bought one in forever, but I should. I mean, but, you know, they're not... You know, when we bought them, they were like that die-cast metal, right?
Right.
Now they're probably all plastic and...
They probably are, but I see them, they're like at the end of the aisle in Kroger, like all the time. You can see them, all the new ones. I think one of the things I remember, I loved it when they were new and the wheels were nice and straight, but there was always something would happen, because they had that real nice spring suspension on them, too, and I think that's one of the reasons why they'd go so fast. But when those springs would get bent a little bit, then they were just going in a perpetual...
It's because we didn't just race them. We'd push them around the kitchen floor. So we were pushing down on them, and and they would be all bent up. And sure enough, that you're right. Though the ones that had the bad wheels, they never won my tournaments. I guarantee you that.
Yep. Too much friction on the walls.
Yep. So we had some... We had some variations there. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Good list, I think.
Yeah, well done.
A nice trip down 1970s memory lane.
Right. So I don't know, today it would be toys. I don't even know what the popular toy, it would have to be video game related, but I don't know.
Yeah, it all seems to be video games. I mean, you rarely see kids outside, playing with toys and things, so.
No. Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. God forbid. All right, George. Another job well done. And we're working on stuff for next week. And everybody keep listening. I guess you can go, you know where you're listening to us, so it's no big deal. But if you ever want, if you're on the commute, on the train, an easy way to find us is anchor.fm/GK Musings, plural. And so that's an easy way to find it. You don't have to search it or anything like that. But okay, George, great job, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. See you later.
Yep.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.